of saints and their walk, from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for four decades now. And we just appreciate all that you do, especially in this Christmas season. If you've not done your end-of-year giving and still have a few shekels left to distribute, by all means, consider making a donation to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Kathleen, I was going to say Our House Ministries, and Kathleen, the phone would ring. But now, In His Sign Catholic Radio, both you can donate online at inhissign.com. Or send a check or money order to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania. And you get the zip on the ad at the bottom of the hour. But anyway, thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. I want to praise and thank God for all of you. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. So, let's begin with prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of this show. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
And St. Monica and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield.
Pray for us.
Francis and Claire.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The telephone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or perhaps you're listening from a distance and over our website at inhissign.com. You can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we would love to hear from you. We'll give out those numbers again before the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the fourth week of Advent and quickly approaching Christmas this coming Sunday. And the liturgical calendar is really light with saints this week. Only one in St. Peter Canisius, whose feast day is today. But more importantly, coming up on Sunday, the Nativity of Our Lord, a.k.a. Christmas. And as we run around and finish up our last-minute shopping and baking cookies and food shopping for the meals that we'll be having on Sunday. It's really important, I think, that we remember to keep Christ in Christmas, most importantly, and that it is the birthday of our Lord. And I think this year, more than ever, with the craziness that's going on in the world, I more and more people, when you mention Christmas to them, talk more about the what's going on in the world and in our church and our faith than they do about what the latest toy is. And I couldn't even tell you, what's the toy that's sold out that nobody can get their hands on that people are running around trying to find. I remember when we were younger, it was things like the Cabbage Patch doll. And, you look back now and it's like, what a farce that was when, people and parents trying to chase down these gifts for their kids and the battles that went on in the big box stores, people lined up fisticuffs trying to grab these things. And, there's so much more to it than that. I think it's just been coming to us in multiple ways, too. I think one of the big ways is most recently in that series, The Chosen. I happened to catch the streaming version the last couple of weeks, and they've done a really nice job with how they portray the nativity. And, I think sometimes we get sentimental about it, Father, and you think about it and how, quaint it was that they were born in a manger and that they had to travel to Bethlehem and this and that. But when you take a minute, and we may end up talking about this a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. Now we have a deacon coming on that has written a real good book about the Eucharist, but he's also written recently about Christmas and Jesus coming into the world. And, you think about it, they had to travel 7 days, 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary's 9 months pregnant, and she's doing it either on foot or on the back of some animal. And they get there, and there's nowhere to sleep. And they end up in a barn or a cave or a stable of some sort there amongst the animals. And, I guess because we have our nativity scenes and our creches and those types of things, I think we kind of glamorize that. And it was not easy for them by any means. And yet this is the way our God decided to come into the world. And, could have had all kinds of reasons for doing it, but it's what we celebrate this coming Sunday. The fact that God would reduce himself to the point of becoming a human being and coming into this world in order to redeem us, to eventually open up heaven to all of us, to institute the sacraments and clarify everything that was in the Old Testament and what have you. And so I think this Christmas for me is probably different than any Christmas in the past. Not that I haven't celebrated it as Jesus' birthday and those types of things, but just in light of everything that's going on these days and perhaps how far away a lot of the world has gotten from the true meaning of Christmas has gotten me even deeper into it. So, I share that with you, Father, and for all, and open it up for you, Father. And also for, our listeners, feel free to chime in. We're going to spend the whole show today talking about Christmas. Feel free to call in with your own Christmas stories or thoughts. Again, the number's 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. Father?
Yeah, Ken, I'd just like to respond because you said a lot there. And, one of the things we hear over and over again, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Sometimes we forget that. But every now and then, I say my Christmas cards, Ken, but some of them I can't let go. And this one Christmas card really came from Jim and Marie Dengler back in the 90s. But it was so poignant to what you were saying. I just want to read what was in front of the Christmas card. It says, if you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and you listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love, Jesus. So it's pretty much what you were saying, Ken, and the whole thing about Christmas. It's about Jesus. It's about salvation. It's about peace and joy. It's about the virtues that he won for us, that he came in history just like the prophet said he would come. He's here in mystery, and we don't want to miss him in the midst of our hustle and bustle out there. But he's coming in majesty, you know, in glory, to take us to where we really belong, with the Father, with all the loved ones who already have gone before us, Ken. And I'm just thinking about all the deaths that have been around our community. You know, two on our block, I mean, just within the week, Tony Beauvais, Pat Arison, and then down the little street, Wilder Street, Debbie Clancy, Diane Markey, you know, around the corner, Mary Bell, right around the corner. You know, it's like death lurks at all the doors. But yet Christmas is all about destroying death, forgiving our sins, taking away the guilt and the shame, and leading us home. And the Lord's always with us in mystery, and he's preparing us and leading us to that majesty of his, to where all the glory lies. And I know, you know, it's a tough time for a lot of people, even our listeners who may have lost our loved ones for the first time this year. And often they say, Ken, well, I don't know if I want to put out so many lights this year. I'm not really into it. We should be more into Christmas. We should put out more lights when we lose our loved ones, because the whole point of Christmas is there is no death, but eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. That little baby in the manger, I always see him with his arms spread out. You know, it's like he's saying to us, I come to take you home. And then on the cross, those arms spread out. I come to take you home. And I was just thinking, Ken, about that poem that's so powerful. I know when my father died, someone sent me this poem. And I just like to read it, especially for those who are really missing their loved ones this year for the first Christmas. But just to believe that, you know, your loved ones who have left us this year are home for Christmas, in the eternal home. But here's the poem that's worth really reciting again. My first Christmas in heaven. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's star reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away the tear, for I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it's beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart. But I'm not far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear loved ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories that Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, as my Father said to do, for I can't count the blessings of love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year.
Amen. Beautiful. Absolutely. And
Doug, one other thing, Ken, that you said I wanted to respond to was, you were talking about, you know, how Jesus comes and, you know, to clarify what's in the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament, when you see our Jewish brothers and sisters, how they would really look at God. It was like when they were good and when they were faithful to Yahweh, to God, then they were blessed. They were prosperous. And when they were away from God and they start sinning, the enemies start coming in. So they start seeing God as someone who blesses us and embraces us and gives us so much when we're good. But when we're bad, then the punishment, he punishes us. It's almost like that God with a board that's ready to whack us. But, you know, there's a story about a little girl And she was once confronted with some of the bloody thirsty parts, the savages parts of the Old Testament, you know. And her comment was this. She said, the little girl, but that happened before God became a Christian. And if we think about it, in all the reverence, when John, in that, you know, the prologue of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and the Word became flesh to dwell among us. You know, it's saying that the Word was always there. So God was always a Christian, but we make him un-Christian sometimes. This Christian God, look at the little baby in the crib and on the cross, how he's forgiving his enemies. The very ones killing them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How he loves us so much. This mercy is so great. Ken, he comes to take us home, even the worst sins that we have. You know, again, that intermittent time that we talked about, Ken, with the painting. It was like, gosh, anyone that can take his hand at that point, we go home on his mercy. We go home on his ticket. He brings us home, that we can't get home by ourselves. He's here, our Savior. There's one Savior, and we have to let him save us from our sins, our guilt, our shame, our guilt, and death itself, and bring us home, sweet home, to the glory of our Heavenly Father.
Amen. You were talking before about folks that may have lost their the loved one, maybe their first loved one, over the course of this year, and I know for some folks it can become a sad time, and you know, it'll be first year for me without my mother, and even though the past couple of years she had been in a nursing home, my brother somehow or other managed to sneak her out and sneak her home for a couple hours at his place last year. But it is, it's different. It's a time for family. Had an email earlier today from another friend who lost their sponsor, you know, their 12-step sponsor, and you know, talking about the impact that she had on her, and you know, trying to piece it together. And you know, I just, you know, so blessed to be in a part of Our House Ministries, so blessed to be in recovery and what have you, that you know, death just isn't the same as it used to be. And I know that's the same for you. You've had your own experiences with death in the past and look at it a whole lot differently today than you did 30 plus years ago. And you know, I think it gives us an opportunity, or to really, you know, look to God and realize that because Christ came into the world, that there is no real death for believers. There is no real death for Christians and Catholics. That this body that we walk around in for however long on the face of this planet may no longer be in the same shape that it's in, but our souls are eternal. They were created before we became flesh, and they'll be around long after the flesh is in the grave. And you know what a gift that is, and to realize. I don't know how people that don't believe in God or don't have a faith and you know, they deal with the loss of somebody that they love, and to think that that's it, that there's nothing more after that. And you know, it's been interesting the last couple of months to watching in my own family with my mother's passing, and you know, a couple of people in my family that are you know, stone cold atheists, or at least they were. And after my mom passed, you know, it was her sister and her husband. They're starting to have second thoughts. And, you know, and at the same time, they have a daughter that's pretty ill. And, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes. And I think that the same applies that or may apply when you face the death of a loved one. And, you know, is it really just that final? that we, you know, put people's bodies in the ground and never to be seen or heard from or available to us again. And there's just no way. And for Jesus Christ to have come into the world and prove that for us, raising Lazarus from the dead, raising the little girl from the dead, he himself rising from the dead, and showing us that, you know, death does not have the final say, that God has the final say. And if we choose to believe and grasp his hand in those final moments and accept the grace and mercy that he offers it, whether it's through the Catholic Church or if it's the final, the last-ditch effort by Christ himself to bring us along to heaven, that's available to us. So while, yeah, there is some sadness, the idea, and I guess a lot of it has something to do with, you know, getting older myself, that, you know, it's not the end, and that when we are reunited and we are with God, that it's going to be far beyond anything that we can imagine. And not that I'm looking forward to it happening tomorrow. I think we still got too much work to do, Father. But yeah. It's going to come for all of us sooner or later.
Yeah, Ken. I was saying, my priesthood is just starting to shine 40 years. I want another 40 years. I want to live to be 111, Ken. And I'd like to be a martyr. But yeah, what you were saying, I remember your mom's graduation ceremony there. I remember the readings. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And one of the stories that I told was so beautiful was the father with his two sons in the wheat field, and the bumblebee comes by and stings the older brother in the cheek, leaving the stinger there. And the little boy, he breaks loose from his father, and the bumblebee is chasing after the little boy. And all the time, the father is chasing after his little boy, and the bumblebee is right after the little boy. So finally, the father grabs the little boy and says, "Son, don't worry about that bee. That bee can't sting anyone else ever again. Your big brother took the stinger out of the bee, and it can't hurt you ever again." And I remember that story, Ken, that Jesus, our big brother, God the Father, you know, in our fear, he's always after us to put his arms around us and say to us, "Your big brother, my son Jesus, took the sting out of death. There is no death. His name is Jesus, because he would forgive his people from their sins and all the consequences, the shame, the guilt, death itself is destroyed. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?"
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk about it sooner or later, but, you know, this image that we got last week, and
yeah,
I don't know if
you want to bring that up.
Yeah. And it's really a long, odd, but God story. But we got some friends in the studio, Frank and his wife, the engineer, and along with our regular engineer, Patrick, are here. And I want to wish a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everyone, especially all the staff here at In His Sign. But as far as this image goes, I think Father's probably may have mentioned it on the air in the past. He talks about it a lot, especially when we talk about the subject of death. And when he witnessed it at the Holy Family Home early on, the elderly would die, and Father would start the prayers. And the first few times, the little sisters of the poor would say, no, not yet, not yet, because they knew another breath was coming. And so Father has this hunch that in between the next to last breath and the actual last breath, that we come out of our bodies and stand with the Blessed Mother and watch Jesus go into our bodies to take that last breath. And anyway, last July, I had helped a friend of mine with their pool. And I should throw that out there. Anybody out there, if you have a swimming pool and you ever have trouble with it turning green or need help adjusting chemicals and that type of thing, reach out. I've been thinking about starting a side business as a pool boy. But anyway, I had helped friends of ours with their pool, and Alice happened to be a hairdresser, and to compensate me for the time I had spent, she offered to give me a couple of free haircuts. And so The end of July, I went to get a haircut, and a mutual friend of ours, Meg, was there, and we got talking about death, and it may have been because my mother was on hospice at the time. And anyway, I was explaining the story about the last breath and how we come out of our bodies and with the Blessed Mother and watch Jesus go into our bodies and take that last breath. And Meg was, mentioned how, how cool that idea is and how comforting that idea is. And Alice had heard it before. Well, Meg leaves. I get in the chair and I'm getting my hair cut. And I mentioned to Alice, I'd really love to find an artist that could somehow put that concept on canvas. And she just happened to mention that there was a young lady that was now connected with the Sisters of Life that was an artist and maybe interested in working on it for us. So she gave me Rebecca's contact information, and I got in touch with Rebecca, and she got excited about putting this concept on canvas. And it took her a little while extra. She actually went to Europe to study stained glass for 6 weeks on a scholarship that she got. But anyway, when I guess about 3 weeks ago now, she got in touch with me and let me know that the painting was just about finished. And she's a special girl. She has a condition. I don't know if it's autism or something else, but she's just so childish in her ways, and I think a lot of it has to do with her faith. But anyway, I had never actually spoken with her. All our communication up until that time was over email. So she invited me to come to the school at St. Malachy's there at 11th and Thompson to see it. And when I got there, I learned that the Sisters of Life had given her a classroom in the old school there to use as an art studio. And Sister Maeve escorted me up to the art studio to meet Rebecca. And I was just floored when I saw the image. And it wasn't even done yet. And we got into a little conversation. And, I said, listen, Rebecca, I won't hold you to a day. And it turns out she's just 22 years old, a recent convert to the faith, not even a year ago. And, I said to her, listen, I'm not going to hold you to a date, but do you have any idea of when it will be finished? And she said, yes, it would be done on December 14th. And so that was the day before the day where we normally have our quarterly board meeting for In His Sign. And I told her that I would love to have it for the 15th to give to Father McKay. And, oh, by the way, would you like to come and be there when we present it? And she got all excited. And so last Thursday night, Sue and I, on our way down to Grace Ferry, my wife and I picked up Rebecca and the painting called The Last Breath. And we brought it down, and it was funny to watch Father, because earlier in the week there were a few board members that said they couldn't be there. And Father was thinking maybe we should cancel and have it later, but I already had Rebecca lined up. And so I mentioned to him, listen, we got a special guest coming Thursday night. But you'll find out more about her when the time comes. And so Father met Rebecca before Mass. We had Mass first, and then after Mass we showed everybody the painting. And Father, I don't think still understood why this girl was there, but we had Mass, and then after Mass we presented the painting to Father, and people are still talking about it. Everybody that shows up at the ministry, at least in the last week or so, has been escorted down to the chapel to see the painting. I did it last night with Paul Mathis. I saw Father do it with Tony and Lorraine that were there at our monthly Mass over at St. Gabriel's. And I think this image is going to be life-changing for a whole lot of people. And for those that are listening, I'm going to let Father jump in and give you the more detailed explanation when we come back from the break. But if you're listening and you actually want to see the painting, you can go to our website at ourhouseministries.org. It's all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. And I just put a page up today called Last Breath, and you can get a viewing of the painting. And when we come back from the break, because Father, I didn't realize we were already there, Father will kick it off and talk about it, because you can use your own Otter God, I think, when we come back.
Yeah,
so
that'll be good. Yeah. And then we can have our Otter God there after that. So much to this painting, but it's unique, Ken. It's one of its kind. It's going to go viral.
Amen. Hey, Patrick, where are you, brother? My engineer disappeared on me. Hey, Patrick. Yeah, there he is. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have our Otter God. We'll talk some more about the image. If you want to call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. Again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us. Just a quick rundown on the Calix units within the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The unit that Father and I are most involved with in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is not going to meet next week. Father's getting a much-needed break, and we'll be out of town. I myself will be out of town. So we will not have our Calix meeting in Grace Ferry next week. We'll resume on January the 3rd. We always get started at 6 o'clock with adoration and prayers and then Mass. And on Tuesday the 3rd, we're actually going to have a Christmas/New Year's party. So we're more than welcome to come and join us. The Glenside unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. That's my home parish. We just had our meeting last week, and our next meeting will be on Saturday, January the 20th. So all are more than welcome. We go to the 8:30 a.m. daily Mass on that Saturday, and then a Calix meeting afterwards. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the parish center. Their next meeting will be on January the 5th, that first Thursday of next year. the unit at St. Francis of Assisi. They still have a meeting left this year. It's St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock vigil mass, followed by a calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, December the 31st. And last but certainly not least, in the Archdiocese unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media gets together on the second Saturday of the month, and they will get together for the 5 o'clock vigil mass and the calyx meeting after, and that will be on Saturday, January the 14th. We also have a calyx unit in nearby Wilmington, Delaware. They meet every Wednesday evening tonight with mass beginning at 6:15, followed by their calyx meeting. So check it out. You can always get all the information about calyx at calyxsociety.org. So before we went to the break, we were talking about this new image, Father, called The Last Breath. Just for our listeners that may have just joined us, if you go to ourhouseministries.org website, it's all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org, and go to the page called Last Breath, you'll be able to get a visual of the image that was made. And I'll just tell you up front, the image that's on the website, it's not as clear as the image in the actual painting, and we'll get a better one up sooner or later. But it's there for those that want to check it out. So, Father?
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I just want to start with baptism. You know, Sister always said that, you know, we receive an indelible mark of baptism. I always wondered what that mark was, that you can't erase it, it's indelible. And I really believe that mark is the stigmata of Jesus Christ, that we have the wounds of Jesus. Francis of Assisi, Padre Pio, it would shine through them. The Lord's supposed to be shining through us. So Jesus Christ is always there in us by baptism. He's not popping in at the hour of death. He's always been there, forgiving our sins and giving us his Holy Spirit and helping us along the way. We wouldn't be able to even say that Jesus is Lord unless God was within us. So God's always there within us. But that last breath, Ken, if I can just... it was how I came about this was with the Little Sisters of the Poor for 21 years watching people die. And I even had to write a book called Heaven's Homecoming. And my first experience of a death was Sister Patrice. And it was on a Friday at the 3 o'clock hour, Divine Mercy hour. And Sister had a great devotion to the Divine Mercy. At 3 o'clock, she looked up. She sat up in her bed, fixated above our heads, and stared. And then she fell back. I thought she was gone. And the nuns kept quiet. And being green, I said, "Eternal rest grant to Sister." And about 40 seconds later, there was another breath. And I saw this again and again, people reaching, looking, you know, who are they looking at? What are they reaching for? What's this delay, 40 seconds, 45 seconds of this last breath? And my theological hunch, which is really a deep belief what this painting is all about, is that at the end, we see our Blessed Mother. Just like John Paul II said, "I have looked for you and you have come." One of his last words, looking for Mary. Bernadette of Lourdes sees the Blessed Mother at the end. John Bosco sees the Blessed Mother at the end. I said, "I love the Blessed Mother, but where's Jesus?" And here's where he is, Ken. At the end, we look up and we see Mary. And if we're conscious, people will see our gaze. If we're not conscious, it's still going to happen. We might, you know, some people are unconscious, but the people who are still awake, you'll see them look and reach and smile and then fall back in those seconds. So this is what really happens. We, at the end, I see the Blessed Mother, and I'll come out of my body, and I'll stand next to Mary at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother, Jesus Christ crucified, looking down at me and saying, "Father, forgive Douglas. He didn't know what he was doing. Douglas, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Douglas, this day you will be with me in paradise. It's finished. I thirst for Douglas. Mom, we got Dougie. He takes the last breath. He takes my last breath, and it's theologically sound because if we believe in him, we never die. He dies our death. You know, God loved the world so much that he gave us his only son, that whoever believes in him will never die but have eternal life. We don't die. There's that, Ken, what you talked about before with Louisa Pegoretta. She speaks about this this space between when we're leaving the world and it's before we enter into eternity, into heaven, that what happens during this time, no matter what kind of sins you have committed, no matter addicts and all the stuff they did, it's the last appeal. And if we just take his hand at that point and see this precious blood come down upon us and wash us clean and cleanse us, we're home free. There's the purgatory, that having that blood washed down upon us, it's an intensity, not so much a duration. And the more we're in sin and darkness, we see what this great God of ours did for us, this great mercy and love. So there it is, that we're looking up at him, and he takes the last breath, comes out of our body that's dead now, because we were already out before rigor mortis came, and between those hearts, Mary and Jesus, we turn around, and there's God the Father, there's our loved ones waiting for us, there are the angels singing, there's paradise, there's the wedding banquet for us. So that painting, you know, when people looked at it, Ken, and they were so struck with it, and they couldn't take their eyes off it, it takes the fear of death away, because there is no death. And it's a transition. It's like going to sleep, really, from this world and waking up in his world. But that last breath is the breath of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. There is no other one. He is the Savior. And he comes to save us from our sins, our guilt, our shame, our death, and bestow on us his very own life and bring us to where he's at the right hand of the Father. I'll just end with this, Ken, and we hear this reading all the time from John 14, chapter 3. We hear the reading at funeral masses, and I believe that's the reading we did for your mom, Barbara, Bobby, that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to take you with me so that where I'm at, you also may be. Where is he? We say it in the Creed. We say it in the Gloria. At the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand. That's where he's at, and that's where we're going to be. Not in pew 47, looking up at the beatific vision. We become God by participation. We are united with God because of who we are as eternal children. He created us for himself to live forever and to bestow on us this inheritance of all that's his. He gives to us. The hour of death, Ken, that hour is so precious. It's not necessarily 24 minutes or 60 minutes. That hour could be 3 days, just like the agony that Christ had. But he called it, my hour had not yet come. Our hour is coming. And we're going to have a last breath and see Mary, but then we're not dead yet. The body's still there, and Jesus will take the last breath to destroy death. But powerful painting, Ken. And it's the only one of its kind. And when people look at it, it seems like to be a blessing there. And it takes away the fears, and we realize who we are, where we're going, where we belong, with God our Father, the Father, the Father, through Christ our Lord, in union with the Holy Spirit, and in the heart of the Immaculata, our Blessed Mother. Okay.
Amen. And, you know, none of this would be possible if it weren't for what we're going to celebrate on Sunday. If Christ hadn't come into the world, I'm sure he could have come up with another way to redeem us, but it's the way that he chose. And so it's only through, you know, his incarnation and his coming into the world that we really learn how much God truly loves us. And because of that, he creates the church, he institutes the sacraments. He provides the means, so many means, for us to draw close to him, whether it's prayer or mass or the rosary or any of the things that the church has to offer, all there to help us to be redeemed, to overcome our sin, to confess our sins, and be able to spend all of eternity with God, and not only with God, but with all of our loved ones, and so it just, when as believers, I think it just adds so much more to what we're going to celebrate on Sunday, and you know we're 5 days away now, And Advent's still not over. You know, there's still time to prepare. Some of your parishes may be having penance services. I know St. Luke's and Glenside is having theirs tonight. You know, still time to get to confession before Christmas Day. And if you miss the one in your parish, maybe call the rectory and see if Father will meet with you one-on-one and allow you to experience the sacrament of confession in preparation for Christmas. But, you know, it's the one day in all of history, Father, when I look at it now, it's the one day that completely changed the course of history. And, you know, there's been some other days in the history of the world, but none like Christmas Day.
Yeah. Our Lord, he right in the middle there, B.C., before Christ and after Christ, and even people are trying to change that. But yeah, Ken, we talked about that hour of death, that moment, but we can't miss him in the mystery. That's what we're celebrating. That's where my heart burns. And he's always there, always revealing himself, touching our hearts. The Blessed Mother, we have all these outer God experiences. He reveals his love, his mercy to us, day in and day out. That's something that St. John Vianney said about communion. He said, when we leave the banquet of Holy Communion, we are as happy as the wise men would have been if they could have carried away the infant Jesus. We carry away God in our hearts. We are the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. He's always there with us. But yet, you know, in the end, there's so much more to come. But we already have a down payment of his beautiful presence, of this felt love, of this peace and joy that we all experience. It's the Lord, God bumps, tears, all these spiritual delights that come from within our hearts. It's Jesus touching us and letting him know that he's with us always until the end of the world. And that end of the world came for us. It's coming, and all the glory will be revealed. And I think, you know, eye hasn't seen that, nor ears heard it, the glories that were going to be revealed to us. And all the trials and tribulation and heartaches and losing our loved ones, when we see him, we'll have no more questions. And it'll all be a drop in the ocean of what is in store for us, God's children. So I always say, you know my quote, I always quote Ken John of the Cross. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs and created for them. What are you doing and how are you spending your time? Turn to the Lord. Like you say, confession, Ken. It's the best means, you know, the preparation we can make to have a fruitful communion and a fruitful adoration time. We're going to be celebrating 3 years of Eucharistic adoration. And it was one of the saints, St. Francis Liguori, who said, the Father delights in our adoration, and it's the very best for us. Next to the sacraments, next to confession and Eucharist, the highlight, you know, of holding that host up, Ken, at Mass, you know, holding Jesus Christ crucified to the Father and receiving all these blessings, and then the Father giving him right back to us in Holy Communion, the climax for us when we come to God and receive God in the depth of our hearts, who's always there to nurture us, to feed us with real food and drink for this pilgrimage that we're on now to go home for that homecoming and live with our loved ones and our God forever and ever and ever.
Amen. And, you know, as you just said that, you know, the pilgrimage started before we were even born. And, you know, we'll go on for all of eternity. And for whatever reason, I've been more in touch with that before we were born thing. You know, going back to the old bumper sticker that I had on my, I think it was a 1989 Toyota Corolla station wagon. And one of the only bumper stickers, or one of the few bumper stickers I've ever had on the back, was from Jeremiah, the idea that before I created you in the womb, I knew you. You know, and this idea that, you know, God knew us long before our own parents did, and that he'll know us long after we leave this earth. And so the idea of how much he loves us and what he has given us, and it doesn't mean that life's not difficult. I think often of the first sentence in the book, The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck, life is difficult, and it is. And sometimes we make it even more difficult ourselves by the things that we do or say or think. But even if we don't screw it up ourselves, it can still be difficult. And just because we're believers doesn't mean that we won't face trials and tribulations. But with the faith that we have, you know, we have to believe that anything that God allows to happen in our lives is only to bring about a greater good, right? You say it all the time, Father. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We may not always see it in the moment that it's happening, and maybe not even in a day or a week or even months after it's happened. But at some point, God will usually let us in on it and reveal something to us that only could have happened through those trials and tribulations.
Amen to that, Ken. Yeah. Who was it? St. Trusavo said, our trials are gold mines to be exploited. And where we trip up and fall, dig there, because that's where we find our treasure. The Lord lets these things happen to us only to bring a greater good. And as St. Paul says, no one goes into the kingdom without trials and tribulations. Elizabeth Ann Seton said this, that if we knew the blessings of our crosses, we would run for them and not away from them, because it's in the crosses that we are humbled, our hearts are purified, and the peace and the joy and the revelation of the presence of God dawns upon us in so many beautiful ways. To be like little children, you know, read those virtues of what Jesus Christ won for us, to become childlike again, Ken. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And I'm thinking about the Mass this morning at St. Richard's. It was kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. Ken, I'm telling you, you were present with the Immaculate Conception with the whole school. But these little ones, you know, I went down to the aisle and talked to them, you know, about Jesus and about Santa Claus and St. Nicholas and combining the two and showing that the real Santa Claus is Jesus. And boy, they just listened. And I even had them singing the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and they wouldn't even shut up. But at the end, I said, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you are bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And Ken, the second and third graders came up to communion. I am telling you, they came up with their hands like a throne. Every one of them must have been so well prepared to receive communion. And their little faces, they knew how to receive communion. They made a throne, put one hand over top of the other, and then they would take the other hand and receive our Lord. And it was so powerful for me seeing this, because so often the adults are come up and they're snatching the Blessed Sacrament out of your hand. Mm. And they knew. And they touched my heart. It's like the little ones will lead us. And when we came to that hour, Father, Ken, they made sure the whole church knew that they knew the Our Father. I even was even quiet. I just had to listen to them.
Yeah.
But the kingdom of God is like little children, Ken. I just want to end with this, with the children, because Christmas is so precious to them. Here's a little story here. She was five, sure of the facts, and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said they were so poor. They had only peanut butter, Mary and Joseph, and jelly sandwiches to eat. And they went along from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey. The man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass. But the three rich men found them because the star lighted the roof. Shepherds came, and you could pet the sheep, but not feed them. Then the baby was born. And do you know who he was? Her quarter eyes, Ken, became inflated to silver dollars. The baby was God. And she jumped into the air, whirled around, dove into the sofa, and buried her head under the cushion, which is the only proper response to the good news of the incarnation. The little ones, Ken, teach us about heaven. Their hearts are pure and innocent. When I was at St. Gabe's and they had kindergarten, I went in as often as I could to visit the kindergarten kids, because they were my therapists. They were innocent, pure of heart, and the kingdom of God is within the little ones, just like baby Jesus can.
Yeah. And now I know a couple of weeks ago the kids were mighty loud, and there's just something in their innocent voices when they pray their Our Father. I got a 6-year-old granddaughter that's in first grade at St. Joe Rob up in Warrington, and she's learned her prayers, and wasn't much for it, I don't think, before getting to St. Joe Rob, and she says her prayers. She was the one that asked her mom for an Advent wreath, and they're doing the prayers daily, and it's the innocence, and I think back to even my own kids and the belief that they had early on in school, and you know, we didn't find a way to perpetuate that and to remain in that innocence. And I think that's why, you know, Christ says so often the references to children, that we need to be like children and have that innocence, that eyes wide open, the amazement that you have with, you know, what God has done. And you know, so many of us unfortunately take it for granted sometimes, myself included. So that's why we have shows like this, remind people, you know, what's really important in this world. And you know, just blessed to be able to do it. Got just a couple of minutes left, Father, if you want to. We don't have to go to the blessing yet, but I'll give you a couple of minutes here to take us out.
Thanks, Ken. You know, just going to the Word of God, those beautiful words that, you know, they say, John 3:16, you can put the whole Bible in this one verse. For God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him will never die, but have eternal life. And then the prologue of John hits me, Ken. In the beginning, takes us right back to Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwells among us. God became man so that we might become God. What father would send his son to die for a pack of animals? But a father would send his son to die for his other children. We are the eternal children of God our Father. He's madly in love with us, extravagantly in love with us. Look at the manger scene and look at the crucifix. Who can be afraid of a God like that who dies for us, our sins, to give us eternal life with him forever in heaven with all our loved ones, Ken?
Amen. For our listeners, again, thank you so much for being with us for this first hour. I'll be back after the break with our guest, Deacon Dennis Lambert. But in the meantime, just want to let you know that Father and I will both be away next week, so we won't have a live show. And I'm sure Maureen will take care of making sure a great recording is put on. But if you try to call in, you won't get through. But based on the number of callers we had today, I don't think that'll be a problem. And so we want to wish everyone a merry and blessed Christmas, a happy, healthy, and holy 2023. And again, thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Can we get your blessing, Father?
Sure, Ken. You know, the other thing I always said, you know, I've said this, that my next retreat is my best retreat. And I say about that for Christmas, too, Ken. This is the best Christmas ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God, our Father, we praise you and thank you for Mother Mary, who wraps the first Christmas present of your Son, for your Son, who comes to forgive our sins and bring us home to you, where we belong, where we come from. Just ask that you bless all of our loved ones who are already there with you, who are smiling and praying for us here on earth. Give us all a Merry Christmas, and let us know that peace and joy of baby Jesus in all our hearts, and help us by the gift of your Spirit and the Immaculata to love one another as Jesus, your Son, asks us to. And bless us all, dear God, with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you. Merry Christmas to all.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We'll talk soon. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be back right after the break with Deacon Dennis Lambert.